This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The stunning death of a superstar. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay on this Monday, January 27th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Federal authorities are investigating the cause of the helicopter crash that killed NBA great Kobe Bryant and eight others.
A new book from John Bolton says President Trump directly tied Ukraine aid to the inquiries he sought.
There are now at least five cases of the coronavirus in the U.S.
And why do some brands die while others thrive?
Most interesting one that jumped out at me was that 63% expect, and that's the key word, expect personalization as a standard of service. And that's because technology is giving that to us at scale to the mass market. I mean, we've got Siri and Alexa to cater to our almost every whim.
Brand marketing expert Brandon Rowe will be here in about 20 minutes with a look at fashion and branding strategies. Former Los Angeles Lakers superstar and one of the greatest NBA players in history, Kobe Bryant, has died in a helicopter crash. He was 41 years old. Bryant was among the dead after a copter with eight others on the flight manifest caught fire after crashing into the hills of Calabasas, California. Gianna, his 13-year-old daughter, was also killed in the crash. Also among the victims, Orange Coast College baseball coach John Altobelli, his wife and daughter. The FAA and National Transportation Safety Board are investigating the crash, which occurred yesterday morning in foggy conditions. L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva says it will take weeks to complete the investigation.
It's a logistical nightmare in a sense because the crash site itself is not easily accessible. However, we're now faced with, well-wishers and people mourning.
Bryant held a singular place in NBA lore. In more than two decades with the Lakers, the only team for which he played in the league, he was a relentless, intense competitor who won five championships and became the biggest superstar of his generation. Laker great Jerry West spoke with ABC about how he felt when he got the news.
It really was a retreat into the background. My association with him, helping him arrive here in Los Angeles, watching him grow as a player, and being like a surrogate father for him.
The league's former MVP once scored 81 points in one game and scored 33,643 points in his career, the third most of all time until Saturday night when he was surpassed by LeBron James. President Trump told his national security advisor in August that he wanted to continue freezing $391 million in security assistance to Ukraine until officials there helped with investigations into Democrats, including the Bidens, according to an unpublished manuscript by the former advisor, John Bolton. The president's statement, as described by Bolton, could undercut a key element of his impeachment defense that the holdup in aid was separate from Trump's request that Ukraine announce investigations into his perceived enemies, including Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar addressed the news at a campaign stop in Iowa.
It says it right there in his book. So I don't know how my Republican colleagues cannot call for witnesses. Senator Romney has called for witnesses. They should all be calling for witnesses.
But Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas told CBS he's heard enough.
I'm not going to vote to approve witnesses because the House Democrats have had lots of witnesses. We heard from them over and over and over again this week. We don't need to prolong what's already taken 5 months of the American people's time.
Bolton's explosive account of the matter at the center of Trump's impeachment trial, the third in U.S. history, was included in drafts of a manuscript he has circulated in recent weeks to close associates. The book presents an outline of what Bolton might testify if he is called as a witness in the Senate impeachment trial. The days are long at the impeachment trial. How are senators coping? Let's talk about it with Niels Lisniewski of Roll Call. Niels, how difficult is it to sit and listen to repetitive content every day?
Throughout the first week, a lot of the content was, in fact, repetitive of what was going on in the House process. And so that's sort of what has been complicated for people who actually were paying attention through the House. One thing you learn from talking to senators, though, is that, believe it or not, many of them were not actually paying too much attention to the House hearings. And so you have cases where I've talked to some senators who have long lists of notes of things they didn't know that I thought were fairly common knowledge for people who had been paying attention to the impeachment proceedings.
What is allowed and what's not allowed in terms of beverages or devices in the Senate chamber?
Well, the most interesting part has been that only water and milk have been allowed so far. No one has attempted to add any other beverages to the assortment. Electronic devices are prohibited, and while there was some question early in the proceedings about people who may have had Apple Watches or other, Fitbits or devices that are, have Bluetooth connections in them, by and large, the cell phones and the iPads and the laptops and whatnot have all been stored away, and that has made life difficult.
Interesting that they're allowing milk. Why milk?
It's an old precedent in the Senate that dates back to the 1960s. It was for medical reasons back then. It was sort of a primitive remedy for something that's now handled more easily through medication. But it's an old rule in the Senate, and it just happens to be recurring, and people are noticing it again because people are stuck in the chamber for hours on end and trying to figure out what they can and cannot eat.
In an age where everybody checks their cell phones frequently, I guess it takes some getting used to not having them for so long, right?
That's generally true for senators, and I'm sure for some staffers who are spending a lot of time in the chamber. And reporters are coming and going more frequently. Most news outlets have people working 1 or 2 hours at a time in the actual chamber, because that's really difficult, too, because you can't get news out unless you actually leave the room.
We're speaking with Nels Lisniewski from Roll Call. Your story says one senator passed out fidget spinners to several of his colleagues, right?
That's right, yes. Senator Burr from North Carolina was the host of a lunch on Thursday, and he gave away basically the party favors for the Republican senators were fidget spinners and some stress balls and some other things that, are meant to occupy one's hands during a prolonged time sitting still.
Have there been any other unique methods of passing the time?
Well, there's been a lot of stretching. So a lot of the time you'll see in the chamber, not on television, because the cameras have been pretty much restricted. You'll see senators wandering around, trying to walk back and forth across the floor, and also doing various sorts of stretching exercises. It reminds me to some extent of what you're advised to do if you're on a really long international airplane flight to prevent having sort of medical issues from sitting still that long.
Now, I know there was at least one. How many senators have been caught dozing off?
There's definitely been a few. I don't have an exact list, but we have seen it from time to time. Senator Risch of Idaho actually admitted to it to some reporters just a couple of days ago.
Thanks, Nels. Nels Lisniewski of Roll Call. It's 14 minutes after the hour.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BY-DELL. That's 877-BY-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay. Three people in California and Arizona have been diagnosed with a coronavirus that has led to the lockdown of several cities in China, bringing the total U.S. cases of the illness to 5. Health authorities in Orange County and Los Angeles County in California and Maricopa County in Arizona confirmed cases of the virus there. All had recently traveled to Wuhan, the Chinese city where the virus originated. L.A. County Public Health Director Barbara Ferrer.
The person who is a traveler from Wuhan, China, and is a non-resident, transited through LAX and is currently receiving medical care at a local hospital.
The news came hours after State Department officials said they would evacuate a plane load of diplomats and other U.S. citizens to San Francisco from Wuhan, which is under quarantine. In the U.S., about 100 people in 26 states have been investigated for or are currently under monitoring for the virus after showing potential symptoms. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the U.S. needs to be better prepared.
And we're here to say, use the key now and unlock the dollars. And the only way to do that is declare a public health emergency.
The new cases and announcement of the arrival of passengers from Wuhan adds to growing concern about the virus in the U.S. It has sickened about 2,700 people and killed 80 as of yesterday morning, most of them in China. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa K is here with three big things you need to know.
Well, number one, Connecticut-based Sikorsky Helicopters is offering its assistance to the National Transportation Safety Board as it investigates the crash of one of its Sikorsky S-76 choppers in Calabasas, California, that killed former NBA star Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven other people on board. The recovery operations could take days.
This is going to be a very extensive process. It's going to take not just days, but weeks for us to get to recover from this.
The L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva. Number two, concerns growing over the fallout from China's coronavirus, with the death toll at least 80 there, the number of infected climbing dramatically, now near 3,000 confirmed cases. In the U.S., there are 5 confirmed cases, a handful of infections in other countries such as France and Japan. And number three, former National Security Advisor John Bolton's unpublished manuscript about his time in the White House declares President Trump directly tied the withholding of almost $400 million in American security aid to investigation he wanted from Ukrainian officials. The New York Times heard from multiple sources who got a look at the draft based on meetings and conversations Bolton had with Trump former VP Joe Biden.
I've not seen the manuscript. I don't have any idea what's in the book. But if it in fact contradicts Trump, it's not a surprise.
Harvey Weinstein's sexual assault trial continues in New York this week. With no physical evidence to support their accounts, the prosecution's case turns on whether jurors believe the testimony of 6 women sharing their experiences to support 2 women accusing Weinstein in Manhattan. Weinstein has maintained the encounters were consensual. A third woman's come forward with sexual harassment allegations against a Michigan state legislator. Crane's Detroit Business quotes a lobbyist as saying Republican state Senator Peter Lucido commented on her appearance and clothes while patting her lower back at a conference last May. A state lawmaker, Democratic Senator Mallory McMorrow of Royal Oak, has made similar allegations. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry formally submitted to trademark Sussex Royal so they can launch their charity foundation and sell merchandise. But a physician in Australia who once worked for the National Health Service in London has lodged a formal opposition to that trademark. So it adds a month and possible legal proceedings before the Sussexes know whether their trademark requests will be approved.
The Sussexes, that's hard enough to say.
Say it carefully.
It's a little early, isn't it? Thanks, Rasa. Stores are closing, yet consumer sales remain strong. What's going on? Joining us now is consumer marketing consultant Brandon Rowe, author of Why Fashion Brands Die and How to Save Them. Brandon, what consumer trends are we seeing in 2020?
Well, there's a lot of things going on right now, but probably the most important and urgent is the idea of personalization, or what we call in the book the market of one. It's been a mainstay of luxury forever. You go into a retail location and get a very customized experience, but this is something that is moving into the mainstream. There was a survey done in early 2019 to 3,000 consumers in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., and there's a lot of good data in there, but the most interesting one that jumped out at me was that 63% expect, and that's the key word, expect personalization as a standard of service. And that's because technology is giving that to us at scale to the mass market. I mean, we've got Siri and Alexa to cater to our almost every whim, it feels like sometimes. There's Spotify and Netflix to tell us what content to consume. And Amazon, of course, within the fashion world, and their recommendation engine that tells us what we should buy based on what we looked at. The fact is, brands that try to treat everyone the same really end up serving no one. And if you look at the retail apocalypse, those fashion retailers that are suffering the most still do mostly traditional mass market advertising, and it just doesn't work anymore.
So does it come down to marketing and advertising, or do we want products that are not similar to what everyone else has?
Well, it depends on the consumer segments. Some consumers definitely want to be different for the sake of being different. But it's really not so much a question of marketing and advertising per se, but rather understanding the consumer well enough to deliver a personalized experience that is of relevance to that consumer. Rather than the mass market, we've got a product, look at the product, buy the product. Now it's like, here's the product, here's how it works for you and your lifestyle and the way you like to buy.
We're speaking with Brandon Rowe, author of Why Fashion Brands Die and How to Save Them. If it's so personalized, how does that mesh with online commerce?
Well, online commerce has the ability to be heavily, heavily personalized. And if you look at the newest and most innovative brands, the ones, especially what the direct-to-consumer model that has come out online in the last few years, they are heavily personalized. They look at what products you engage in, what products you buy, and then they can send out a series of very customized emails or text or remarketing on your social media feed, that advertising that follows you around kind of thing, and really personalize to what you're looking for. So online is very complementary. It's driving this trend.
Brandon, is this all geared toward younger people, people in their 20s and 30s?
Conventionally, yes, but older demographics are definitely becoming a major part of this. I mean, there's a certain stereotype that people over 40 don't have interest in this, but the fact is they still buy.
Thanks, Brandon. Brandon Rowe, consumer marketing consultant. It's coming up on 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train.
Have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. Don't stop. I'm the dream. You should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com. On this Monday, January 27th, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. Some of our top stories and headlines. Lakers legend Kobe Bryant has died in a helicopter crash that also claimed the life of his 13-year-old daughter and seven others. President Trump says Congressman Adam Schiff has not yet paid the price for his role in the impeachment trial. John Bolton claim ties President Trump directly to frozen aid for Ukraine. Stock prices skidding as the China virus fears drive investors to safer havens. Billie Eilish cleans up at the Grammys, and Kobe Bryant, the ultimate competitor and an NBA champion, more in 20 minutes. At the largest gun show in the country, the focus is on women and first-time buyers. As Cameron McWhorter of the Wall Street Journal tells us, the Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show is showcasing small, lightweight, and concealable guns. Cameron, what had the show been trying to sell?
Well, I mean, they've always sold a variety of weapons, but certainly in the past, or firearms, in the past, there'd been, or certainly in recent years, there's been a heavy focus on rifles, AR-15s, that sort of caliber rifle. And now that market has sort of stalled. So they're starting to move more toward lighter weight pistols and trying to find a new demographic. And of course, their argument is that young women who need protection should be buying handguns, small handguns that are concealable. The concealed carry market has been exploding as the various states are pushing for, there have been numerous states that have made it much more easy for people to have concealed weapons in recent years.
Has their message affected the target audience they're trying to get to?
It appears, I mean, at this show, there was definitely, I ran into a fashion line where called Tactica Defense Fashion, which is you know, they have sweaters and holsters and things that are trying to look fashionable. I'm not a judge of that one way or another, but that where you can conceal your handgun. And they are creating weapons, guns that are very, very, very light, very easy to shoot. If you, even if you're not an expert, you don't have to go to a rifle range or a pistol range to figure this stuff out. You just point and shoot. Some of them have laser pointers on them, so you just point the red dot and fire. And this is all geared to the person who wants to have personal protection but doesn't necessarily want to go to the pistol range all the time.
We're speaking with Cameron McWhorter of the Wall Street Journal. Cameron, what is the demographic of the people who go to a show like this?
Well, I mean, I think we can all have our own impression, which is older white guys with beards, basically. And that's that demographic was there in force, certainly in Las Vegas where I was. But there also is increasingly more and more women showing up. And that is certainly a demographic that the industry is trying to court. Not just women, also older people who are concerned about protection. And so a lot of these guns, the same reason these guns are good for women, they're also good for older people or people who have arthritis. Or, you know, these are easy to carry, easy to shoot, and you don't need a lot of training.
Are they using women to market to women and try to persuade women that they should be carrying?
Yeah, I mean, in the past, certainly the gun industry used women to market their weapons in a way that was a very old school, sort of, you know, women wearing bikinis, holding guns and stuff like that on their calendars and things like that. That is sort of on its way out. And what you're seeing instead is much more guns being designed for women, clothing being designed for women, holsters being designed for women. A lot of the women that I spoke to at this show were saying that in the past, gun makers and accessory makers would simply slap a different color on something and then call it for women.
Thanks, Cameron. Cameron McWhorter of the Wall Street Journal. It's 21 minutes before the hour. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal. Remember, there are more ways than ever to connect to America's First News on the go. Download the This Morning with Gordon Deal app from the Apple or Google app stores. Like our Instagram page, This Morning with Gordon Deal, or tell Alexa, Google, or Siri to play This Morning with Gordon Deal. Employers want to train workers, but which training programs are worth their money? This Morning's Gordon Deal has more.
We're speaking with Lauren Weber, workplace reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Employers Want to Train Workers but Are Swimming in Options. So lots of options, which seem to be, from your reporting, confusing to both employer and employee. What you got here?
Yes. Well, skills are changing very quickly in the workplace. Now, this mainly has to do with the fact that there's so much technology now. There's a ton of technology innovation, and the kinds of tools that we use at work are rapidly changing. So we all have to keep ourselves more updated than in the past. The good thing about what's happening in the world of skills and training is that there's a lot of innovation. And so there are all kinds of learning options available to people. You can go to a technology boot camp. You can take classes online. You can take, get a traditional bachelor's degree, or you can take online courses at your own speed while you're working full time. The problem is that there is too much of this out there. There's so much out there. There's an organization called Credential Engine that found there are more than 738,000 credentials available, post-secondary credentials. That includes everything from a PhD or a law degree to a digital badge you might earn for taking an online class for 30 minutes.
Boy, so is this the nature of a tight labor market, or is this the nature of just today and technology?
I think it's the nature of rapid change. Even when there was higher unemployment 10 years ago, employers were still complaining that they were facing a skills gap because the kinds of skills that they needed from their workers were changing quickly, and it's very hard for anybody to keep up with the demand.
Yeah. So one of the problems here is that it's lovely to have options, but there's not any kind of one-stop shopping place to go, right, if you're looking for something specific.
Yes, and that's a problem that faces both individuals who are looking to train themselves up and also employers who often want to help their employees develop their skills and remain relevant and up to date. Now, you know, some of us are lucky enough to work for companies where they'll pay for training, they'll offer it maybe even in the workplace, or they'll offer a subscription to some kind of online program. The problem for employers right now is they don't quite know how to navigate this exploding marketplace. So even for the ones who want to move away from purely reimbursing, let's say, bachelor's degree programs to being open to more short-term certificates and certifications, you know, they're having to do a lot of work to figure out what's a worthwhile use of their money.
We're speaking with Lauren Weber, workplace reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Employers Want to Train Workers but Are Swimming in Options. So what's an employer to do? You gave examples like Home Depot and Lockheed Martin. What are they doing?
Well, many of them are calling on consultants to help them navigate this marketplace. And there are also some third-party options out there. Credential Engine, which I referenced before, they're the ones who wrote the report finding that there were 738,000 credentials out there. Their mission is to develop a database, sort of a registry of someday, hopefully, all of these credentials that would have the sort of a one, like you said, a one-stop shop where both individuals and employers could go to look and see not only what's available, but ideally it would have information about outcomes, you know, so you can see if, well, if I take this training course or if I offer this course to my employees, they will actually develop some valuable skills. There will be some labor market value to what they're learning.
Lauren Weber of The Wall Street Journal with this morning's Gordon Deal.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. It's 10 minutes before the hour, and Rasa is here with three big things you need to know.
Well, number one, Jen, fans flocked to bring flowers and signs to the Staples Center in Los Angeles and to Our Lady Queen of Angels Catholic Church in Newport Beach to pay their respects to NBA star Kobe Bryant.
This is somebody that defied human ability. He's somebody that did things on the basketball court that nobody thought he could do. He's like a Michael. He is the Michael Jordan of our time.
Bryant was killed with his daughter and seven others in a helicopter crash near Malibu yesterday. Number two, the count is now at least 80 dead of the new coronavirus in China, which has issued massive travel bans in hard-hit regions trying to stem its spread. The U.S. consulate in Wuhan has announced it will evacuate its personnel and some private citizens aboard a charter flight. While the CDC is screening passengers on direct and connecting flights from Wuhan at five major airports in the U.S., Senator Tom Cotton told CBS's Face the Nation he wants to see more preparation.
I also think it would be appropriate for the Food and Drug Administration to expedite on an emergency basis approval for testing kits to state and local governments, so you're not just depending on the federal government to test these things.
Number three, President Trump tweeted that the Democratic lawmaker leading the impeachment case against him has, quote, not paid the price yet for his actions. And that man, California Representative Adam Schiff, says he views that as a threat. A New Jersey man taken to a hospital after falling through ice at a reservoir Friday has died, the third death in the state after breaking through thin ice in the same week. Two teenagers died after skating at separately posted Central Jersey ponds. The West Milford man had apparently been ice fishing at a Northwest State Park boat ramp. Rescue operations largely concluded in eastern Turkey, where a magnitude 6.8 quake killed at least 38 people. Rescue teams supported by thousands of emergency workers from other provinces and by hundreds of volunteers worked over the weekend to pull people from under the rubble of crumbled buildings. An unintended consequence of Connecticut's 10-cent tax on single-use plastic bags is customers stealing the handheld shopping baskets to hold groceries or other goods as they walk to their cars or homes. According to the Connecticut Food Retailers Association, those heavy-duty plastic baskets cost stores $5 to $8 each. So some are sending employees out with shoppers to their cars to get the baskets back after unloading.
You know, this is coming, whether people want it or not. So they're going to have to quit stealing stuff and just carry, deal with it.
Fold up a bag, put it in the back of the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.